Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's talk about some of the good stuff from the weekend here. If you're an Auburn fan, you are very happy this morning driving into work.
Very, very happy.
And congratulations to your War Damn Eagles because they made the Final Four for the first time. And what a run.
And ever.
Auburn has been on. John and Hugh on the morning show. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this leading up to the Final Four. Now we go to Minnesota for the Final Four this Saturday. And when they said, Hugh, and we mentioned it earlier, that 8,000, nearly 8,000 brackets in ESPN's Bracket Challenge had the Final Four right. Now, granted, that's out of 17 million. And I don't have math in front of me. It doesn't say what the percentage of that is. One half of 1%, something like that. But, you know, still, that 8,000 got it right.
That's pretty impressive. And I tell you what, though, man, the road that Auburn has taken to get to this point, they've been blue blood killers. Somebody tweeted me out last night and said, yeah, they've been blue blood killers. And that's what makes it so impressive. Because you look at Auburn's team, and they're not a team that people say, you can honestly say, you can't say, oh, they got lucky to get here. They beat some really good teams in their way.
Well, let's just take a look at it. They were 18-9, and they went on a run. They beat Georgia to start their run. They've won 12 in a row. And in that 12 wins, Hugh, they've beaten Tennessee, Florida, Tennessee again, Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky.
Blue blood killers.
That's pretty impressive.
Really impressive. Really impressive.
I mean, four teams with multiple national titles in Florida, Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Tennessee twice, which was just a number two seed. That's
all. Yeah, man, and the fact that this is their first trip ever getting this far. Second time making it to the Sweet 16. That's what I found hard to believe. And the first time was like in what I want to say 86. Was it 86? The first time that they made it?
It was Barkley made it, right?
I think it was. This is the second time. I know that for a fact. I know it was in the 80s. They had a nice little run in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to make it here, man, you got to feel good about that. I know Auburn fan. Like, I watched the game. Again, I was at Hudson Grill with some Auburn fans. Man, they were loud and proud. They were real loud and proud.
And Auburn goes to prove, again, what everybody seems to say, which is the NCAA tournament is a guard-oriented tournament. And
it
Harper
is.
And Brown have been spectacular. And they were spectacular yesterday. So you look at Auburn going in. Here is what happened in the final call on Westwood One.
Throws through Washington, a three-pointer shot, no good. Rebound down to Harper, and he puts it away. He's dribbling the clock away. For the first time ever, Auburn is going to the Final Four.
How about Bruce Pearl? You know, Tennessee, he beats Tennessee twice. Tennessee then gets knocked out of the tournament, and the former Vols coach goes down to the Plains and does what he does now.
When your kids play hard and play unselfishly and play together, you know, obviously they're the Cinderellas of this tournament. And that's what makes March so special. Which team is it going to be? Now, this is important. At Auburn, in athletics, we're not Cinderellas in anything. We're really, really good in all those other sports. We win championships. It's been a long time since men's basketball has been good. That's what makes it so special for us.
He's not lying about that. I mean, you as far as they've went and the way that it's looking for Auburn right now, they might be the favorite. They might be the favorite going into this Final Four, you know, because like you said, 8,000 people picked them in their brackets. I don't think anybody expected, for the most part, Auburn to make this kind of noise. I really don't believe that was the case.
You know, when we talked to Clark Kellogg, I said to him, you know, Auburn, a hot team. You know, what do you think about the hot team? They just won the SEC tournament. And, you know, and what they were able to do in the SEC tournament. He's, okay, you know, but.
Yeah, it was not none of those teams. He wasn't poo-pooing it, but you didn't look at them like you say you would look at, like, a Duke. But on the flip side of that, Duke looked like a team for the last three games that they've been in. Like, they were waiting to get knocked off. Like, they've won the last two games that they won was a UCF and I forgot the other one that they played, but with UCF, it was a total of 4 points. They won by four points. So it was one of those things where you knew that with Duke, they didn't have that great perimeter shooting, and that was probably going to be what got them eventually. So, yeah, it's one of those things with Auburn. You look at them, they're a pretty balanced team. They play hard, they're big, and they can shoot. They shoot well. They shoot out the outside shot pretty good.
And, of course, Michigan State's got a star guard in Cassius Winston, and that's what happened with Duke as they tried to battle back in what was another classic game. Wish this had been the national title game. It was such a good game.
Tillman, eyes wide as he awaits the inbound. Here he comes. Mouth in an O as he looks, tries to trigger, and gets it to Winston. Winston runs to the other end. Winston dribbling around with 1 second, and that's it. Winston avoids the foul, and Winston sends Michigan State soaring to the Final Four.
Yeah, the Duke didn't foul there. The problem Duke ran into is that they fouled with 5.2 seconds to go, and they realized they only had 14 fouls. They would have had to foul again and again and again to get to Michigan State to have to go to the line. And that was where it kind of, you know, works against you when you don't have a whole lot of team fouls. You know, that's something that maybe you think about when you're coming down the stretch. Maybe we should start fouling here, trying to get to 1-1, because if they had to foul three more times, there would have only been a second left on the clock as it was. For Zion Williamson, that return to the Duke lineup did not end in a championship.
No, they did everything we expected them to do. They're hats off to them. They're a great team. They played a great game, and, you know, Winston, I mean, he took over, so you know, I had to talk to them. They're a great team.
Yeah, they are a very good team that has played. The only team that Michigan State can't deal with is Indiana, apparently, because they lost to them twice this year.
No, I tell you, man, it's hard to believe, like watching Zion play, that this kid is 18 years old. I mean, he's a phenomenal player.
It's hard to believe. That's
like,
amazing,
isn't it? And you know what? It reminds me, every time that I hear him talk, how old he is, because he's still a kid. 18-year-old kid, the world is his oyster right now. Dominant player. Dominant player is going to be one of those guys in the pros that I want to see how well he does. Because you saw yesterday, there were times during spurts in that game where he took over and nobody could do anything with him. He had, like, what, 4 blocked shots? He blocked a 3. He blocked a 3 one time. And I'm like, God, that kid got some hops. He's a strong young man. And he's gonna be one of those pros. It's gonna be interesting to see, number one, what team he goes to and how they utilize him. Because you look at him, John, I mean, and what do they say, from 2 to 4? That's probably the position that he can play. So it's gonna be one of those things where it's going to be fun to actually see where he ends up playing at in the pros.
Well, for all the chalk, Hugh, what do we have over the weekend? Kentucky, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Duke. And we're asking that on our Twitter at 929 the game right now. Which NCAA tournament power program was the biggest Sweet 16 Elite Eight failure? Was it Kentucky? Failure. Was it
that word is so strong. It's just so strong and wrong. You're a failure. That is just so wrong. You fail.
Well, they did fail. Is it wrong? I mean,
yeah. It just sounds bad. You're a failure. You, sir, are a failure. Okay, yeah. I guess if that's the word you want to use, we're going to go with that one.
Kentucky, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Duke. Which was the biggest fail?
The biggest disappointment?
Yeah.
I'm going to change it just a little bit. I'm going to change it just a little bit because that's a cringe-worthy word. I'm going to say the biggest disappointment this weekend, and I kind of saw it coming because I said this before when I filled out my bracket. I have to say Duke. I have to go with Duke. But, again, I felt like Duke wasn't going to win it all anyway. I just had that feeling. But I didn't think that it was going to be at the hands of Michigan State. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that. I didn't think Auburn was going to go as far as they went. So I would have to say the biggest disappointment is Duke.
And for me, the biggest disappointment, even though Duke is winning the poll by a mile because people are just relishing the fact that Duke has lost.
Yeah, they hate Duke.
To me, the biggest disappointment is Gonzaga because, you know, they lost to Texas Tech. And Gonzaga had it kind of shaped up for them to go ahead and make it to finally get there.
Well, a lot of people felt that this was the year.
Right, with Clark and Hashimura and Tilly, that they finally had the team. They finally had the draw. They finally had everything that they needed to have to finally win that national title, that elusive – because how many times have they been there? A lot.
Yeah. That might be another one that would be up there in the top ranking. But, you know, for me, it's all about the latest game. Mm-hmm. And that's the one, for me, honestly, that sticks in my head. Because that, for obvious reasons, that's the one we watched last night. But that would be another one. But I think it's Duke because Zion came into this tournament with all the hype. Like, no matter what. You remember they were talking about before the tournament started how they were going to have a Zion cam.
Mm-hmm.
I think they put the kibosh on that when people started complaining about the fact that, you know, is this young man going to get any of this money that you have for this Zion cam?
Mm-hmm.
But he was the guy that everybody looked at, is that if Duke had a chance, it would be on his shoulders. And there were times during that game last night that he took over, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to beat Michigan.
Yeah, so again, you can go to
Michigan State.
Yeah,
Michigan Sorry about that.
Yeah, Michigan State. Yeah, you know,
some Michigan State fans get mad about that.
Oh, yeah, they'll get real mad about that. Yes, they will. Yeah. They'll want to fight. You can go to the Twitter at 929 The Game and vote. Is it Kentucky, Gonzaga, North Carolina, or Duke? So right now, Duke 67%, North Carolina 25%.
Who failed the weekend? Who's the biggest failure? That's just so harsh.
Well, it's harsh, no, but it's accurate.
But well, you know, it's all about wordplay. It's all about wordplay.
If you don't want to be a failure, don't lose.
You're a failure. You're a failure. I'm so disappointed in you. Yeah.
And P.J. Williams of Kentucky, boy, man, did he play some great basketball.
Yeah.
But, again, not enough because Harper and Brown were just unstoppable in that Auburn backcourt. So, again, you're going to watch this. I mean, you saw Guy have a big game for Virginia. How about that shot of the Virginia game to beat Purdue? Carson Edwards was unconscious. I was kind of hoping Purdue would win, no offense to any U Wahoo fans, only because Carson Edwards was player of the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, if he had made the Final Four, it would have been hard not to, you know, vote him for MVP. The way he'd been playing, he set a record for most three-pointers, and just he was shooting from, like, half court. And, I mean, it was like they were laughing about Steph Curry and all this kind of stuff. It was unbelievable what
he was hot.
He was doing.
He was hot. He was definitely hot. That was another one of those sighting games, John. But to me, you look at the team like Purdue, that's another thing. I think they did a great job of seeding the teams this year. You know, sometimes we complain about the season, how it's a mismatch. I think, especially in the regions that they put the teams, I think they did a really good job of seeding them this year. Really, really good job.
Well, I will say this, that we, you know, for all the, you know, for me complaining a little bit about the fact that we hadn't had that many exciting games. I mean, Duke, UCF. And
it got tight. It got
boy,
real
this
at the
weekend,
end.
Man.
Yeah.
Every game was down to the
wire. And not only that, even though you might be of the mindset that you really, whomever goes, might be a snore fest because of the two teams that are playing in it, I think everybody's going to tune in just to see. Because you're going to get an opportunity to probably see some teams that haven't been here before.
Well, too.
Yeah, you're gonna get an opportunity. You might get an opportunity, or you're going to at least see one of them, and it's going to be, you know, a team that probably a team that people feel of destiny, Virginia, against the upstart.
All right, so let's just take our first look at as we talk about the Final Four set in Minneapolis this Saturday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, 92.9 The Game is your home of the NCAA tournament. 6:09 p.m. on Saturday in Minnesota, Hugh. Auburn 30-9 on the year. They've won 12 in a row. We went through that. Virginia 33-3, number one team in the nation, the only number one seed to survive, number one team in the nation at one point this year. Matter of fact, more than one point. Only team to survive is a number one seed into the Final Four. You have Virginia has managed to get through some of the demons, and then they have this incredible – they had two things happen to them in this tournament already, Hugh, to get to this Final Four. One is, you know, they were down, by 15 to Gardner-Webb in the first game,
mm-hmm.
trying to exercise the demons of being the first number one seed to lose to a Sweet 16. They got over that – to a 16 seed. They got over that. Then they get into this game this weekend. They need a miracle, and they get it at the buzzer to send the game to overtime before winning in the overtime period. Auburn, the hot team with the two hot guards against Virginia, the veteran team – with Tony Bennett finally getting to this Final Four, and you kind of mix and match, you know, this upstart from the SEC versus the ACC power. Who do you like in this game just first blush?
First blush, I think going into it, Virginia is definitely a team that feels like, you know, this is where they should have been last year,
mm-hmm.
especially since they exited so quickly last year. But I'm going to say I like this Bruce Pearl team and the fact that they haven't been here before. Oh, and they're like – I think they're probably going to be a little more loose because they're playing with house money. Nobody expected Auburn to be this deep. Nobody expected that. So for them, I think that it's going to be one of those things where they're going to play a little looser. I'm going with Auburn with this one.
Then you have Texas Tech at 8:49 against Michigan State. And, again, I want to tell Hawks fans, if you haven't watched Texas Tech yet.
They can shoot.
They can shoot. They play great defense. And you got to look at Jarrett Culver. Because Jarrett Culver is a guy that could be the Hawks' number one pick in this draft, and he's in that 5-6 slot right there as a big, lanky shooting guard, Jarrett Culver. So you want to be able to, you know, take a look at him. Texas Tech against Michigan State. This is a Michigan State team that had to battle through injuries all year. They lost Langford, and when they lost Langford for
and
the
they're
year,
tough. And they're tough and gritty
they're big,
team.
They're
and
big
they fight.
And
yeah.
Yeah, they could fight inside.
Yeah.
And they've got a star guard player, Big Ten player of the year in Cassius Winston.
Man. I like Texas Tech, but I got to go with Tom Izzo and his group. I got to go with Tom Izzo. So basically what I'm saying is it's going to be Auburn and Michigan State at a blush. Because my bracket blew up. My bracket blew up Friday. Mm-hmm. So it's a wrap for me. Kiss the baby.
Yeah,
for my bracket.
I don't know which way to go on Auburn, Virginia quite yet. I'm going to, you know, I mean, I tend to like to play the hot hand, but I think Virginia is the number one seed is finally, you know,
yeah, but you know, Virginia, but you've seen times where Virginia looked like they were a little tight.
Yeah, I know.
They've been tight.
Yep.
Auburn, I would
and
think.
And you're right. I'm not going to argue your point is well taken.
Yeah. I would think that Auburn never been here before. What do you got to lose? Because nobody
house
felt,
money.
Yeah, basically. That's how I see it. I would definitely tune in for the Auburn-Michigan State SEC against the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think Michigan State's the favorite in the Final Four to win it all.
They would have to be with this in this field, definitely.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick somebody to win it all in the Final Four right now, Michigan State. Tom Izzo just manages to get the best out of his teams, even when he's screaming at them. Yeah, I know. That just made me remember the Braves. All right, Jessica Mendoza, ESPN and baseball analyst, was there last night for that debacle for the Braves. What does she have to tell us about what the Braves can do?
Swing and drive!
America's pastime is back as our Braves get set to kick off the season with a home opener versus the Cubs, Monday, April 1st.
Struck him out looking, and the Braves have won again.
For exclusive Braves coverage, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The pitch. Swung on. Hit deep, and there it is! Way back to right into the second deck!
Phillies Radio Network, yeah, Bryce Harper, homers again. Welcome back to the morning show on this Monday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. I don't know what the hell it is with Philadelphia, but man, it's been a bad place for just about every Atlanta team of late. Falcons, United, Eagles, you name it, Hawks. Man, that town, get out of the way of that town. What a disaster of an opening weekend for the Atlanta Braves. I mean, just couldn't have gone worse. 0-3, pitching was terrible, offense was non-existent, yada, yada, yada. Tonight, let's hope things change around in the home opener at SunTrust Park against the Chicago Cubs. We are joined this morning, Hugh and I, by Jessica Mendoza, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball analyst, who had to sit through that, and thank God she did, because I couldn't have sat through it in person because I would have been throwing things. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
So, Jessica, is it as bad as it looked to us last night? Are the Braves that bad?
No. But, I think what it is it's all the biggest fears, right? I mean, just being around the conversation and around Atlanta, you guys know more than me, but about, you know, this urge and need and want for to get more, you know, free agents, to trade more players, be able to get more guys than just Brian McCann and Josh Donaldson. And I think the biggest fear was, especially as the injuries came through, was just to have a couple, you know, pitchers, knowing obviously even the Dallas Keuchels of the world, but not even that, just because these pitchers are so young. And my thing is what young pitchers do, what we saw with Kyle Wright last night, is it's his first start of Major League Baseball. I mean, he's overthrowing. He's nervous. He's quick to the plate. And because of that, everything's missing high. I mean, to me, that's what happens when you have young pitching, but that's going to change as they get more reps and more experience.
Man, that get agent is loud.
she's pretty loud.
She's going to get that play boarded. Jessica, one of the things we're talking about this morning is the Braves got hot and ignited when Ronald Acuna last year was moved to the leadoff spot. They decided to put him at the number four spot. That so far does not seem like – I mean, it's only three games, but I'm beginning to wonder if that's really the way to approach this because, you know, he is such a game changer at the top of the lineup. What did you see?
Yeah, you know, I agree. And I've always been a fan of having your – I mean, it's hard even with this lineup to say who is absolute best hitter because you still have Freddie Freeman – you know, in this lineup. But to me, you're lead off basically one time a game. And after that, it's all about just turning the lineup over and being able to be that guy at the very top that gets things going. That kind of, I mean, think about how many times he started games last year with just this huge punch to the face, whether it was a home run or just honestly a great at bat. And that's where I feel like Acuna has evolved so much, especially the last 2 months of the season, is the takes, is the walks. And I agree. I'd like to see him back up there just because I want to see more of him.
You know, Jessica, I know it's a long baseball season, and you just said that, you know, you don't think the Braves are bad. It's just that, you know, they need some – they need to play more. The young pitcher needs to play more. But at what point – because we got the Chicago Cubs coming into town tonight. At what point do you start to, like, you know, get a little uncomfortable and start to move things around a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's not even moving things around as much as it is going out. I mean, what stood out was the pitching. I mean, I feel like, yes, like, you know, the Braves, there's little holes here and there, maybe in the offense that you could, you know, pick at early in the season. But, I mean, I think that's going to – I still look at this lineup. I'm looking at it right now. And, you know, from Inciarte at the top, I mean, adding Donaldson, wait till he gets hot. He had his first hit just last night. So that's a bat that's going to get going. And the fact that Ozzie Albies is down in the sixth hole, you know, I mean, this is a lineup with length. So to me, it's more about the pitching. And how much time do you give that? How much time do you give the Bryce Wilsons? You know, do you give Kyle Wright? I feel like having that extra veteran arm, I want to know what the conversation's in around Keuchel. Like, what, you know, how much money? What is it worth? You know, how long do you have to wait for him to get going in a season, because he's starting late? But that, to me, is the biggest change, is going out and getting another arm.
Talking with Jessica Mendoza for another minute. She, of course, ESPN baseball analyst, and being inducted into the Softball Hall of Fame this summer. Congratulations on that.
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. I'm pumped for that one.
Of course, now you also have a title. You took a job with the Mets, correct?
Yes.
Now, does that make it difficult for you to analyze baseball games when you're talking about the Phillies and Braves if you've got this other gig? Is that something you have to kind of keep in mind?
No, I mean, to be honest, it's so much more part-time than I think has been, like, alluded to. I mean, to be honest, the guy I sit next to, and Alex Rodriguez, has been doing it with the Yankees, and, you know, just even seeing him last season, you know, and how much, you know, he has this relationship and kind of helps, and I would say is even more involved with that team. And yet it's helped him become a better analyst. And the reason is because you get to learn more. You get access to information that you honestly don't normally get access to. And I have great relationships with players and managers. And what I found with the Mets is, like, just being able to understand what is really at the forefront of the game right now. And that's the analytics. That's the technology. That's the stuff. And whether it's the Mets or just really how that represents all of baseball, I've learned in the couple days that I've even been working with the Mets, it hasn't been a ton, it's more that I'm sitting there with a notepad to help myself learn, so that when I'm analyzing the game, I see the full picture, not just what the players are telling me, not just what the managers and coaches are telling me, but really what's leading this game right now, and whether you like it or not, it's the front office.
Well, it is interesting. I would love to pick your brain about that sometime, and when we have a little bit more time. I know you got to hop on a plane, and we got the show to go here. But we do appreciate you taking a few minutes this morning early, Jessica. And again, congratulations on the Softball Hall of Fame.
Thank you very much for talking to us.
Yes, you and John, thanks for putting up for me and with the gate agent too.
Oh, no, it was awesome.
Hey, listen, I'd rather have that gate agent, you know, on top of me than all of a sudden be sitting there. Thanks, appreciate it, Jessica.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I've had that happen before where the gate agent, you know, spoke so soft that you were, like, sitting in your seat, you know, kind of, and realized nobody's sitting around you going, what happened to my people? They're all on the plane. They are?
I'm surprised you're catching a plane, though, because Philly ain't that far from Connecticut. But I guess I like to drive, so it don't bother me. that's like, what, a 5
hop on the train, you know?
Yeah, you can do that, too. Yeah. Dale's going to be like, what type of dude are you? I just like to drive, man. I just like to drive.
If you're going to the home opener tonight, we want to invite you to join us at Lot 29, which is just north of the stadium on Circle 75 Parkway. From 2 to 7, Dukes of Bell are going to be broadcasting. We're going to have our big tailgate. We're going to have ticket giveaways. We're going to have prizes. There's going to be a lot going on. Atlanta Peach Movers is putting it on. That is our big tailgate in Lot 29 from 2 to 7 today for Dukes and Bell with 92.9 The Game. So do come over and say hi, because we'd love to see you before you go into the ballpark. That includes all you Cubs fans, too. And I know there's going to be a lot of you, because they'll be thick tonight.
Yeah, they're going to be nice. I think it's going to be a pretty nice night. What's the weather like tonight, John? It's going to be like in the 70s?
I don't think it'll be that warm. Where were you yesterday?
I was
get
cold
out of the house
yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, I'm sorry, 55.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's going to be about 55.
Yeah, it's going to be a little chilly.
But it's going to get warmer during the week, though.
It's going to be warmer than Philadelphia, let's put it that way.
Definitely warmer than Philadelphia.
And the Cubs, by the way, didn't play great. They went 1-2 in Texas and scored a bunch of runs, but gave up. Their pitchers got worked by the Texas Rangers bats. So hopefully that'll ignite the I keep looking at this and thinking United and the Braves just need to play some warm weather games because they've been playing. Everything they go north is raining or snowing or freezing cold, and they just like they turtle up or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you saw some guys out there last night with some face masks on, and it was a little cold. And you know, the weather for, you know, a warm weather team definitely played a factor, because you look at the Phillies last night. You didn't see a whole lot of guys out there with long sleeves on, anything like that. So, you know, it was one of those things where I would always go into a game, John, and you knew that the team, when guys were all bundled up like that, that they weren't mentally in the game. Mm-hmm. That's how you kind of looked at it.
Right.
And that kind of gave you an added incentive to go out there and kind of do your thing.
Well, the Braves, again, will send Sean Newcomb to the mound against Kyle Hendricks tonight for the Braves and Cubs. And I guess, you know, that you can only sit here and think that with both the Braves and United, but especially, you know, with the Braves 159 games to go, that, okay, fine.
You got to start. You got to turn the corner.
Just got to get it going.
I was kind of surprised she was talking about Dallas Keuchel a lot. Ms.
Yeah,
Mendoza,
she was talking about Dallas Keuchel.
Like,
she mentioned him like three times.
Yeah, she talked about him quite a bit. I don't think the Braves are there with that. I don't think that's what they're looking at.
No.
From what we've seen so far, it's that middle relief, man. It's that middle relief. We don't even know what the bullpen looks like. We even know what the closer looks like, because we haven't had a chance to see, haven't had opportunity.
All right, it's only been one series, but here are some of your ERAs. Julio's ERA is 5.40, and he's the ace of the staff. Kyle Wright, 6.23. Bryce Wilson, 10.8. Luke Jackson, 12.0. Home Run Jackson's 12.0. Shane Carl, 27.0. Josh Tomlin, 27.0. And the team's ERA is 8.63. Ooh-wee. You know, thank God they weren't playing the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I think they hit 27 home runs in their first three games.
Yeah, and I know somebody in the studio is very, very happy about that.
Man.
Big Dodgers fan.
Arizona. Wow, you think we got pitching issues. Our pitchers look like Cy Young and Nolan Ryan and Greg Maddux compared to Arizona. We got to talk about the good team in town, okay? A hot team in town. Yeah, the last place team. Yeah, that one. Got to give him a little love, because the hottest hand in town belongs to one Trey Young. That's Rookie of the Year Trey Young to you. We'll discuss that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, your game time traffic.
It is gone! A grand slam for Acuña!
The Braves open up SunTrust Park today, and Dukes and Bell have you covered live.
Baseball is back in the ATL, and nobody's got you covered like us. Because the game is everywhere.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And now 1.1 remaining. Kevin Herter will put it in play. Goes with an alley-oop. It's knocked away. And Trey picks it up and puts it up. And it goes in! It goes in! Trey Young just won the game! Somehow, someway, he got a rebound, and he put it up and in! Tremendous! A tremendous win for the Hawks in overtime! 136 to 135. Trey Young, he's got the it factor, folks. Make no mistake about it. He has the it factor. He has the it factor. He's got something no other rookie has. I don't care what his name is. Trey Young with the game-winning basket. He's got the it factor. Folks, if you're listening nationally, he's your Rookie of the Year, okay? Case closed. I rest my case, Your Honor. Final score, Hawks 136, Bucks 135 in overtime.
Hey, I agree with him. I agree with him, man.
Can't argue with Steve Holman with that one there, baby. Can't argue with that.
The other guy's name is Luka. He lives on the second floor. Trey Young is just tremendous. I mean, it's true. I mean, he's hitting game winners, you know, the Philadelphia floater, the Milwaukee. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. I know that Antetokounmpo didn't play. I get it. They rested the Greek freak. Oh, so you beat Milwaukee without the best player in the NBA. Okay.
Yeah, but it was still an exciting win, because when you look at that game, John, they were down like by 20.
Early.
They were down like by 20.
Early.
And it was one of those things where they fought back. They fought to get back in it. And the way that they won it. This team has a potential next year with some moves being made to be a playoff team. Don't know what seeding we're talking about. But I think that the way that they've played over the last few games, it makes you believe that with the right pieces, that you can have something special next year. You definitely can have something special next year, because this team is pretty resilient. Because the storyline at the beginning of the game when Milwaukee jumped out on them was how people felt like Coach Bud wants to come here and get revenge.
Right.
And that was the storyline. But then it quickly shifted because this Hawks team wouldn't go away. So I'm thinking, man, and you know, I talked to some friends of mine after the game and everything, and they were talking about the Hawks. And I'm thinking that this team could be something special next year. You get the right pieces and with the right growth, they could be something special next year.
Yeah, it was nice to beat Coach Bud. I had to say, that was kind of a bonus in all of this. And yes, I know that the Greek Freak did not play in the game, but still, nonetheless, the Hawks get another victory here, and we got to stop winning. It helped that the Mavericks won. But if you start looking in and projecting out the Hawks now, the Hawks have 28 wins, and they're going to get to 30 in a year where we were saying, there were people saying 15 at the beginning of the season. I mean, and they're going to get to 30, and it's not just the number of wins, Hugh. It's the fact that they've gotten better over the course of the year. Trae Young has, in my estimation, I keep thinking he's starting to pull away from Luka as Rookie of the Year. I used to say with you, oh, could he be co-Rookie of the Year? He is co-Rookie of the Year. Maybe he should be Rookie of the Year. I'm starting to agree with Steve Holman. Of course, I'm a biased Hawks fan on the Hawks radio station. I get that. But if I'm voting, and based on what we heard from some of the players last week, you know, in the NBA talking, I actually think Trae's going to win Rookie of the Year.
I'm starting to feel that way. He feels like he's the favorite. He's been the one. It's funny, John, because now – at the beginning of the season, you would wake up and you would see highlights of what Luka Doncic was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you wake up and you see Hawks highlights. That's a great indicator. I mean, this almost feels like the year when we were sitting here talking about how nobody gives the Atlanta Falcons any love, and then all of a sudden you would wake up every morning and you would see the Falcons on SportsCenter doing something. It kind of feels like the same thing. And that's why I feel like this Hawks team could be something really special next year.
Well, you have – you know, the two big rookies, or the two big young players, because Collins is not a rookie, obviously, he's a second-year guy. But Trae and Collins, and you have Herter, who's doing his thing. And then you're thinking about adding, you know, a top-five pick, you hope, because, again, we get to the NBA draft coming up in June. And, you know, one thing is true is that with the NBA draft, you have all these potential for having two picks. Now, at the moment, the Hawks are three losses ahead of Dallas. If that's how Dallas has 46 losses, the Hawks have 49, and there are five games to go. So it looks like the Hawks are going to lock into that number five spot, and Dallas looks like it's going to either lock into six or seven or even eight or nine. It sort of depends because the Wizards, Pelicans, Grizzlies, and Mavericks all have 46 losses. So maybe you get lucky and they drop all the way to number nine and get less ping pong balls, and you get that pick. So as Travis Schlenk has said, the best scenario in the draft for the Hawks is to have the ping pong gods give you the first and sixth pick. That's probably not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst is that you end up with just the eighth pick, and that probably, too, is not going to happen. So it's probably somewhere in between. But as long as you get the Dallas pick, I think you're going to be fine in the draft.
Yeah, I think they will be. And I think that they're going to try to add some pieces. I don't know. I'm curious. And I know, you know, Travis is not going to talk to us about this, but I'm kind of curious of how wins like this and the development like they're developing, how quickly does that move up your timetable? I mean that's something that I would be interested to hear in the meetings that they have, because you know that they have to have meetings. And I understand the Greek Freak wasn't on the court, but still, you're talking about a team that was getting waxed from the beginning. They were getting pretty beat up pretty good, and they fought their way back to win the game. That's pretty impressive. I think that you have to start having conversation about, okay, what do we do next? Well, who do we try to target? Have we built up enough sweat equity to go out and maybe entice a big-name free agent here? Or maybe you just stay the course. You get you some more young guys, you get you some more assets, and then you decide to make a move next year.
Ken and Buckhead wants to jump into this. Ken, welcome to the show with John and Hugh.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. First of all, sorry if I'm not sharing your enthusiasm about the Hawks right now, because why these guys continue to win? I mean, they're screwing themselves in the end as far as the lottery go, because, I mean, it's not written in stone that Dallas is going to finish between 6 and 10. Dallas gets it. They know in order to get that pick, they're going to probably lay down the rest of the season.
Yeah, but they did. Now, Dallas did win last night, so that helps.
Well, they did win, but my thing is, I mean, come on, Hawks. I mean, start resting some players, man, to assure yourselves to get the allotted amount of ping pong balls to land Zion or either the other kid at Duke, man. I mean, I want some players in here. We're not going to get them through free agency.
I don't think you're going to be in position to get Zion. I just got that feeling.
Yeah, Zion's going to be the number one pick. And unless you get super duper lucky, you're not going to get Zion.
And another thing, I don't understand. Like, I hear what you're saying as far as the ping pong balls is concerned. But you mean to tell me you're not excited about what you're seeing from this young team? You're not excited at all about what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, I am. And I got to tell you that I think that, you know, you look at the wins here, they're going to finish in the number five spot. So I think we can all relax. Again, they're three losses ahead of Dallas with five games to go. Dallas is not going to catch them, okay? Because the Hawks aren't going to win all their remaining five games, which is probably what would have to happen. So I doubt that. I mean, you play at San Antonio on Tuesday. You know how difficult that is.
Mm-hmm.
Then you play Philadelphia coming in.
You got Philly coming in.
You know, and Philadelphia needs to win, so... I mean, the Hawks aren't going to win every one of their games. They're probably going to end up with a number five pick. But, you know, I think here's the important thing. This team needs to win right now so that when they have this kind of good momentum going into the offseason, you could have two draft picks. You know, and regardless, by the way, of where Dallas finishes, Dallas could have a top five pick even if they finish ninth, okay? They could have the number one pick. We just have to hope the ping pong balls don't give them a top five pick. It doesn't really matter much where everybody finishes. It's just, what are the ping pong balls? Why, it's a weird, interesting lottery. It's not like the NFL. Got a lot of big Braves questions for you. And, yes, we're going to be taking your calls, too, at 404-741-0929. Opening day, Braves and Cubs. Our big Lot 29 tailgate is coming up 2 to 7 tonight with Dukes and Bell. We'll talk to you about the Braves next on the morning show and where they stand after that debacle in Philadelphia with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.